Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Live Free and Ham podcast. I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR, and this is the place where we like to explore ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Thanks for tuning in into the show, and hello to everybody on the live stream, if you're on the live stream. And we have a special guest tonight. Maybe you might be into Minecraft, or you might be a Minecraft fan. And of course, you're definitely going to be in ham radio if you're watching this show. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned. But before we get going into the discussion, let me do a little introductions here. So I'm here with one of my co-hosts, Todd, W1CJ.
Good evening.
And our esteemed guest, Lucas, W1BTR.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
And those that are wondering where Ryan is, W1SNH, he is flying over, heading out west to do some training and I believe go to an air show. So he's unfortunately unable to be with us tonight. But if you're watching, Ryan, we're thinking of you.
Yes, we're jealous we're not with you. Yeah. All right. So, but although we've got some great stuff going on tonight, so, you know, he will definitely be missed, but hopefully he's tuning in. So just a couple of things before we get into our regular show here. You're probably wondering where you can find us going forward. Obviously, we've got our podcast gets released every 2 weeks. It's a bi-weekly show. And every month, we always host a live stream on our YouTube channel. So the way you can be in the know is if you obviously check our socials, head over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, make sure you hit that notify bell so you get notified when we actually release a live stream. And as one of the other things, a big thing coming up for us is in October on the 14th, we will be at NearFest. We're working on some of the details with that. We're hoping to do some live streams and some interviews there. We're going to be doing some giveaways. So definitely come by, check us out. We definitely want to say hello to you guys and continue to, hello to our community. So, but as always, we don't want to leave anything undone. But we like to dive into our usual segment here, what we call, what's been going on in your world and ham radio for the week. Because Lucas is our esteemed guest here. So we'll kind of start out with him. So what's been going on in your ham week this week? Anything special or interesting?
Sure, Eric. A couple of things I've been working on. Right now, my current project is just rebuilding an antenna for outside for my HF rig here. I'm doing a NFED, and it's a special design. It's got a capacitor and a resistor about a third the way down the line, which doesn't affect the lower HF stuff, but for the higher HF stuff, I think it brings it down a little bit. So that way it's better within resonance and stuff, and it uses a 36-to-1 36-to-1 transformer instead of a 49-to-1 because it just proves to be a little bit more efficient, which I thought was very interesting. But so I'm trying to work on that one. And then I've also been helping out with Leominster Emergency Management. It's our local emergency management department for some of the storm that's been hitting through here. Because it hit Leominster pretty hard. I think it was estimated $500 million of damages. Wow. Just for the town.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Wow. Whereas a little bit south in Lancaster, where I live, nothing. We were fine. But then just 10 minutes north. It was crazy.
Did they actually have detected tornadoes, that type of stuff going on, or a couple of
no tornadoes? Pump? Really, mostly flooding. We had, I think, still 60 houses to pump out. Wow. When I left on Tuesday night, and then we had roads closed down and sinkholes and just damage of all sorts. We had cars floating around and people on top of cars in a few streets, which was insane. Wow. Probably the worst the town has faced since the big blizzard a few years ago.
Holy crap. I'd say. Yeah. Crazy. Now, so to kind of circle back on your NFED there, now is this your primary antenna or is this going to be like your
podium? Yeah.
Okay.
This is my primary. I have the same design, but it's on a smaller ferrite core. Mm-hmm. And thinner antenna that I use for POTA. That one probably could still do 100 watts SSB, but for everything else, it's around 50 watts.
Okay.
And that one, I actually, because you can do it two ways for the NFEDs if you want to do it properly. You can't just have it have no counterpoise at all. Mm-hmm. But you can have it go, I think it's about 7 feet of RG58 if it's a 40 meter one. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it for 80 meters, I think it's a bit more. And then you have a 1-to-1 ballon. So it's the 36-to-1, then it's 7 feet of RG48. And then the 1-to-1 ballon that gives it a counterpoise and it keeps any RF from going to the shack. Or you can do a counterpoise, like an actual wire counterpoise dropping down. That's a different measurement. So for the POTA one, so I had flexibility, I have a little switch on there where it switches which one is connected to. So you can do either or.
Oh, very cool.
That was fun. I tried it once. It didn't work at all, but I tried it again. This time it actually works. So second time's the success there.
Now, you do any of fool around with any of the counterpoise options? Like, I mean, you adjust going longer, shorter. Have you tried the typical screen fence, I guess the big craze now?
Yeah, not too much. I know that. So it's Bob and Bob in the WBUNGUF club. They wrote this book, which I actually have right there. I have to take off my headphones, but I can hold it up in a second. It's called The World of Wire Antennas. And they've done tons and tons of research and tried tons and tons of things. They've been featured in a bunch of ARL magazine and stuff. So they came up with, they're like, this is what's best. We know it's best. And we've used it for field day a good number of times, and it's performed well. So I'm like, okay, that's what I'll do.
I
trust it for now. It is interesting, though, because the 49-1, there's two things that I think are really important. For transformers is that the 49-1 isn't the most efficient. If you're doing a halfway bend fed, it's 36-1. And that when you're winding the toroid core, you want it to be, think this is if this circle is the core itself, you want all the windings in the bottom there. And then you want the primary, which is only going to be two turns, to be right on top of it instead of over here.
Oh, wow.
Which the ARL book has you do it here because that's just common practice. But if you try it out, it's much lower inductance there, so it's a lot less loss, and still does the same transforming. So it gets you a bit more power that you can use and stuff, and just a bit better performance, which is just super cool. And I have to get in fights with people online because that's not what the ARL book says. That's not what I've learned. I'm like, I know that's what we've always done, but just because we always do it doesn't mean it's right. And don't be afraid to try new things and mess around. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Try it yourself, but
right. You won't know you're wrong, or you won't know you have a different way until you go out there and try it. Right. I mean, that's exactly the biggest thing that I think YouTube has done well for ham radio is that, hey, just go out and try it. You never know what's going to happen. The mesh screen thing took off wildfire because everyone's like, oh, wow, it's a great ground plane. And it's like, yeah, it's way better than putting out 60-foot radial. So,
yeah, I'll have to try that out. Here, let me hold up the book real quickly because I have it right here. I just want to give them a shout out because it is a very good book and it's well written and it answers a lot of questions. But it's this one right here, not the most interesting cover, but it's Wire Antennas, 160 meters to 70 centimeters, Concepts, Constructions on the Air by Bob Glorioso, WNIS, and Bob Rose, KC1DSQ.
Oh, very cool. And we'll put that in the link in the show notes. That way, people can grab it on Amazon, YouTube, or wherever, and make sure that they have that. So, very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, cool. That sounds like you've been quite busy with that for sure. So, what's going on with your bench, your week?
My week. Well, not much with ham radio. I did work on Saturday night, and there's European contests, so there's a lot of guys out in Europe and Brazil, South America doing. So I worked a lot of stations, but what was really cool is the way my setup is, my antenna, I don't really get out west that much, and getting California is always a tough contact, and it's real noisy. I was hitting California on Saturday night, middle of the night, 5-9, 20 plus. I mean, it was crazy. I couldn't believe how they were so clear. So I was pretty psyched with that. That was the first time I really had, and I was hitting all kinds of people in California. So it was cool. So like I said, I work overnights, Lucas, if you didn't know, and those that are listening. So just a few nights a week, and I use my Flex radio, and I do it remote, and I just sit around and play radio when I'm trying to stay awake, and passes the time, right?
Yeah,
that's where I was before we started this. I was telling Lucas that I've been getting Australia and New Zealand all the time, and it was crazy because I never even thought I'd even get close to them, but had a lot of QSOs and a lot of guys I've talked to, and it's been a lot of fun. So the bands in the middle of the night are great, and I'll tell you one thing, if you stay up or you can't sleep, get on your radio because everyone is calling North America and there's no one up. So, you're getting contacts because they want you.
Yep.
So that's about it. That's about it. And, just been doing the podcast and stuff and learning about that. And that's about what's been going on. Just been busy and baseball started. So I was right before this, I was coaching again, which I thought I was done, but, nope, back to doing it for 2 more months.
Mm-hmm. And another 2 more years. So keep that in mind. Just going to put it in the back of your file cabinet there. So speaking from experience. But anyway, cool. All right. Well, I guess for me, I probably haven't been playing a whole lot of radio. Just been trying to catch up on my workload of videos. I've realized somewhere along the line, I lost my momentum, and you know, I've been trying to put out videos enough on my channel. But you know, some of them have been a lot, you know, some of the it's funny because like when you forget what POTA events activations you might go on or whatever that stuff, you kind of go back and watch that footage and you're like, oh man, that was really cool. I totally forgot about that. You know, I had a really great, you know, I hit Spain, you know, or, you know, I didn't expect, you know, the conditions to be this or what, but that was, you know, there was one activation I think that I just recently did with one of my other buddies. We were both having a horrible day and, you know, he kind of just texted me because we were supposed to meet up to do a, you know, a project together, but he just lacked the time and schedule just kind of got out of whack. And so he just kind of in a random, you know, text messages back to me. He's like, dude, I'm just tired of the day. Let's just go POTA. And I'm like, you got my vote. So, you know, we were just like, that's okay,
goals for me right there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we're just like looking up on the, you know, the POTA app. I'm like, okay, well, we haven't done Russell Abbott over in Milford Wilton area. And we went out there, and that's, if you've ever been out in that space, or you've ever been out to a space where it's just like totally RF quiet, totally quiet in general, like just so nice, nature's there. You're just like, oh man, this is so awesome. So we just set up. You know, it was raining sort of a little bit in the beginning of the day, but we're like, we're not going to let this bother us. And then at that point, the sun broke out and, you know, the weather, you know, kind of just changed for the good. And it was just like, you know, okay, we walked away with 52 contacts, totally had awesome conversation. Nice. Just, you know, like I said, you were just, you know, this is life for me. So, you know, I'm like, all right, dude, we got to, you know, remember this when we're having crappy days. I don't care. Let's just, you know, yell POTA and in the car and going, you know, simple as that. So, you know, it's those moments that I really like. So, you know, that's kind of why I do the hobby. And, you know, it's just the friendship and the camaraderie, but it's radio, dude. You know, that's awesome. You know, you're getting double the, you know, the dose. So that was pretty much it for me. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're a Flex owner, you know, the battles that some of you are facing and ensuing, and they're resolving some of those issues. But, you know, over and all that, you know, I still get to come home and, you know, still do some of the radio, you know, mostly play digital and whatever. So I'm definitely, getting my fill of radio for the you know, this past week or so. But you know, so good on that. So I just double check here if there's anybody in the chat there. I see we see Bill there. Yeah, welcome to the chat and welcome to the stream. You know, if you have any questions along the way as we kind of dive into the world of Minecraft and Radiocraft, you know, definitely put them in the chat. We'll make sure we get them in there and get them answered. Before we, start to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of Minecraft, let's kind of, you know, introduce Lucas here and, you know, like we do for every, you know, guest we have on, you know, kind of what's your radio background? How'd you get into the hobby? You know, what's your story a little bit and, you know, share a little bit of that. And then we can kind of talk a little bit more about Radiocraft and Minecraft and you know, all of those great things, you know, that, you're working on.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, as far as getting into the hobby, I've been a ham for, let's see, I got my plaque right here. It has been since the 9th of November 2021, so a little bit. And I was always kind of interested in radio. I messed around with walkie-talkies and stuff, and I kind of dove into CB. I didn't really know anything about SWR, so one of my base stations had no antenna plugged in. Can't imagine why that stopped working. but I had, you know, the handheld ones with the giant antennas that telescope up. And again, didn't know about SWR. I liked using them while it was collapsed down too, because I'm like, this is more compact. And it stopped working. Who knows why? But yeah, I really enjoyed messing with CB, but was disappointed by the range and didn't have any people to do it with. And then I was looking at getting walkie-talkies, and I found these really cool ones on Amazon that had all these buttons on it and stuff. And I was, what, 12? So I got them. They were UV5Rs. I was not licensed, but no one in my family knew anything about ham radio. So I used those illegally for probably a year and a half before I think I dropped one in a lake somewhere or something. I remember trying to talk to the EMS people because I could hear firefighters on there and ambulance drivers. Luckily, I didn't know anything about offsets, so they didn't catch me or hear me and haul me off to FCC prison, right? But, yeah, then eventually I was looking into GMRS and ham radio. I got my GMRS license probably 6 or so months before I got my ham license, and okay. Just realized, I'm like, wait, ham is like so much bigger than I thought it was, and I didn't really know it was a thing anymore. I didn't know about it. I mean, no one in my family knew about it, and my friends knew about it and stuff, but diving into it, it seemed super cool, and I dove right in, and I've been in it ever since and been loving it. And that's kind of what inspired the project too, is just a lack of knowledge. That's the number one goal of the Radiocraft project, is just bring awareness to this generation. Other than that, as far as my background, I'm a student. I'll be graduating this December. from Liberty University, a communications major, not radio communications, like marketing communications.
Okay.
Which confuses people sometimes because they're like, oh, yeah, so radio that makes sense. I'm like, it's different, but yeah, much less useful. But that with a technology minor. I'm also a Christian. It's a big part of who I am. I owe a lot of the success to God, is what I'd say. And yeah, other than that, I don't know. I have so many hats. I do web design. I don't know.
You could go, hours.
I have the WMBTR YouTube channel too. I'm engaged. That's probably my most exciting thing right now.
That should
have
been the first thing, you know, that's
important.
Yeah,
right. I have a beautiful wife to be, which we're super excited about.
Very cool.
Total and blessing.
Possible ham.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Possible ham. Hopefully getting her ticket this year. I'm going to hold her to that.
Yes.
You know, the wedding can wait. The wedding planning can wait. Just get studying, babe, you know. But
exactly. This is my gift to you.
Yeah, exactly. This is more important. What if the world ends? But
we got to be prepared. So, oh, very cool. So like, it's interesting kind of how your, you know, your background just, you know, blends through most of your life and everything. And I'd have to say, if you didn't get into communications, you might want to get into QA for radio testing and stuff like that, because I'm sure a lot of manufacturers would, you know, value your testing abilities and IPv7, confirmation and certifications and whatnot. So,
for work right now, I work in IT. So I got a lot of kind of techie stuff in there as well. And then I also volunteer at my local emergency management department, which is, they used to be a CERT, but they got adopted by the town as something more official. So they're under the fire department now, but they're still volunteer. So I'm kind of switching into their kind of dispatching radio person. So it's been a great place to be able to use that.
Now, are you going to try to combine both the ham radio aspect of that too with it, or are you just going to stay kind of keep them separate?
To some extent, yes. They actually, it's funny. I went in there like, oh yeah, they do Mars as well. They have a radio for Mars and stuff, and they have an HF station for part of their broadlink to other departments and stuff. Okay. Then they have a VHF ham radio. They're like, oh yeah, this is our ham. I don't know what it is. And I looked, and it's the same one I have in my car. It's the ICOM IC2820H. I'm like, I know how to work that. That's great. Like, it's so I just walk right over to it, and I'm playing with it, and I'm like, oh, let me program in WB1GUF and call out on there and stuff. So that's been cool. Actually, this last Tuesday, I called out on there and on the Paxton repeater, just asking for pumps because we needed more pumps because we were pumping out homes because everyone was flooded. Lemonster was half gone.
It was a pond.
Yeah, it was. It was. But I got some swimming and I got my laps in, so I'm happy.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, so it sounds like, you definitely have a lot of, ham radio throughout your life. So that's pretty cool. And, keep up with it, and many places that you're not going to get bored of it for sure. So it's very cool.
Yeah. It's a great thing about ham radio is if you don't like the hobby, just keep on doing it, because there's so many hobbies within the hobby. Like, you can just find something for everyone, whether it's digital or building your own stuff, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you ever go up to his website, if you get a chance to go up to WMBTR, check it out. I mean, I kind of peruse there a little bit, and even his channel is really good. I mean, I know he probably will talk it down a little bit, but I'm thoroughly impressed with the videos he puts together and just, you know, the information he can communicate very clearly. And he does a lot of very cool electronic projects. So, head on over there, check him out. And, we'll definitely put it in the links down below. So, that's not the reason for you being here tonight, but in essence, that's just one more plus. So,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cool. So so let's kind of dive in here a little bit. So as some of us are in the chat are anxious to kind of get into the topic, for those that are a non-gaming audience, maybe we can kind of touch a little bit just in the essence of what Minecraft might be or what it is in terms of the gameplay and the whole purpose of the game of itself, and then just kind of how that ties into your brainchild and what you're growing now with Radiocraft and where that kind of spawned itself from and where you think you might be taking it in a little bit and go further down that.
Sure. Just starting off with kind of what Minecraft is, I'll start with one of the more basic definitions of it. It's a sandbox game. What does that mean? It means that think of yourself going into a backyard and you have a sandbox, you got all these tools. You can kind of do whatever you want. You can build a sandcastle. You can throw sand at your sister. You can eat it, whatever you want to do. In Minecraft, you kind of start out in this world with nothing. Each time you play, each time you start a new kind of game, a new save, it's completely unique. It's completely randomly generated and it's infinite. You can walk and it keeps on generating stuff for you, and you can keep on walking back and that same stuff will still be there. And you find resources. You start out by probably breaking a tree and making an axe and breaking down more trees and then digging. And as you go on, you mine out more resources. It's hence the word Minecraft, and kind of build a world around you. And and do all sorts of things. So yeah, it's got a very big player base. It's the best sold game in the world. I don't remember the name, the numbers off the top of my head. But it's immensely popular from people of all ages, kids and adults, and kind of like Ham Radio, where in Ham Radio, you know, there's so many hobbies within the hobby. For Minecraft, there's so many ways you can play it. You can go into creative mode where everything is unlocked to you and you can place whatever you want and do whatever you want. And you're invincible and you can fly around. Or you can, you know, do hardcore survival where you have one life. And if you know, you fall off that cliff by accident or some monster walks up to you and hits you and you die, that's it. You lose everything you've worked on. Or you can go on servers, which are self-hosted. And anyone can start a server, you know, with a pretty basic machine. And there's huge ones and small ones. You can play with some friends. And a big thing is modding. Now, what modding is it, you know, it's a game written in Java. Each time you run the game, it actually compiles as you start it, which is kind of interesting. And what these mods do is they kind of insert code into the game that change how it works. It's kind of designed to be able to do that. There's all sorts of mods. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of mods. You can add things like steam engines and rotational force or nuclear power or twerking. There's thousands and thousands of mods out there, and you name it, it's probably got something. But there's no Ham Radio mod, which I was surprised by, because kind of one of the areas that Minecraft struggles sometimes, I mean, people sometimes say it's not a game, it's a simulator. You know, you're kind of going into this world. I mean, it seems silly when you're looking at the graphics of it. It's so blocky but it lets you use your imagination. It really lets you get lost in it. And you can do so many different things. But for communication, there's no voice chat. It's just this kind of text box you can do in the bottom. Everyone in the world, everyone on that server can see it. So I realized, you know, Ham Radio, you're still building stuff. It kind of fits within the time scale, because it kind of has this 1800s kind of exploratory kind of vibe to it. There's no real technology by default unless you add it in with a mod. So
pretty much, right?
Yeah. So this type of thing was actually tried before, where they added in cell phones. But the issue with cell phones is that, you know, you got your axe, you're building yourself a little wooden hut, you're planting in the backyard, and you pull out a cell phone. It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't fit. There's no cell towers. You know, like, how is it powered? Why is everyone gone? Is this post-apocalyptic? If so, then why are there cell towers? So it didn't make sense. It broke the immersion. It didn't end up helping. There was a mod that was added called Simple Voice Chat, which is proximity chat. You walk up to someone and they can hear you, just like you and I talking face to face, right? But again, there's still that issue with long range communication. So what we realize is that not only is this a great thing to add in for hams, but this actually solves a problem in the game where it lets them have this kind of realism, this thing that makes sense, and it's still immersive, but it's also a challenge, and it also teaches them about ham radio. So not only is this great for the ham community, this is great for Minecraft. So then the big thing is, of course, exposure, because like I said earlier, none of my friends, none of my family really knew what ham radio was. So many people, this younger generation, it's not that they're not interested or they don't care. They just don't know it exists.
Right.
So this is a great way to just introduce them to the concept of it in a way that we have control over. And we can say, like, hey, this is real. Go check out the ARRL website. You know, like, we can push them to investigate it. And we can give them an environment, too, because, you know, ham radio is kind of intimidating to get into sometimes, I think. You know, you can't really do much.
Electronic sensitive, you know, sensitive and stuff like that. So it gets a little, you know, someone who's not the background and Todd can kind of contest.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to have a scanner and I used to listen to the repeaters and people on, you know, talking. And I never knew how you got to do that. I didn't even know it was ham radio. I just knew it said amateur radio and people were talking. So that was when I was a kid. And now that I'm, you know, an adult and I ended up getting into ham radio kind of by accident, it was, it all makes sense now. But like you said, you know, a lot of younger people and a lot of people, they don't even know what it is. And a lot of people are interested once you are out doing it. Like I noticed with POTA, you know, I get tons of people coming up to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I make up flyers and give them flyers about it and give out my card and say, hey, you know, give me a call if you want to get into it. You know,
yeah,
to help you out.
Or you just say you're a Russian spy and watch their faces go. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically you've got this established, you know, kind of world that you get to create in some, you know, form with others or yourself. I mean, I assume it's probably very much better to have others involved than
doing
it, you know, on your own little world. But
and it's super scalable. It can just be you and your brother and your father, or it can be a big public server that everyone's on.
And it's almost infinite, right? So like I'm kind of talking from this respect that my Minecraft when it came out, like version one is when I kind of played with it, so it kind of dates me a little bit. But in essence, the world itself kind of is almost endless. So it's like, it's not like you know, as you stop, you get to a wall and you're penned in and you know whatnot. You kind of exactly. just continue to expand. Yeah. So it's infinite space a little bit.
Yeah, the way that works is it generates them in individual chunks. So as you walk forward, if it's like, hey, no one's been here before, it'll use what's called the seed, which is a long random string, to generate a unique new space that you can walk into that's unique to this world. And then you keep on going and it just keeps on generating and folding up before you kind of like a rolling magic carpet in a way. And then it saves that and it unloads them, but it saves them. So really the only limit is your hard drive. Eventually, you know, you might have to upgrade your storage or something if you keep on making more stuff. And I think there, by default in servers, there is kind of this world limit where you walk up to it and it does keep on generating, but like there's, you can't walk past a certain point, just so that way players aren't purposely kind of just making the
just rolling forever. Right,
but for context, you know, if you were to walk in a straight line in one direction from the center of the world, which is where you start out, it would take you days, like literal real world days, to get there. So it's just, it's immensely huge comparatively.
But ultimately, you know, in that sense of like this a vast expanse space, you know, ham radio kind of plays really well into that, you know, that realm, because in essence, you know, we deal with propagation and a whole bunch of other things, which, you know, I think you're going to get into it a little bit. So I don't want to steal too much of the thunder, but, you know, it talking with my daughter, who has played with some of those mods where you mentioned of the cell phone and the, you know, the voice chat, that it lacks a little bit, like you had mentioned, in the spaces where you can't really have a two way or feel like you're, you know, immersed in the, you know, the game itself. So I think, you know, where you're coming in with ham radio, this really just makes things just that much more, you know, fun, and people get to understand what ham radio is. And so maybe kind of talk a little bit about, so we've kind of established the world itself. So what made you think of the mods themselves and where you kind of wanted to take it, and, you know, and then maybe kind of, you know, talk a little bit about some of those mods, and then, you know, we can go a little further down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Great question. I mean, I've always played Minecraft myself. I mean, I do it less now, but I do still sometimes, you know. I don't really grow out of it, but I've grown out of having time, I guess, more so than out of enjoying it, because your playstyle changes as you grow. And there's one mod I really love that's called Create, which does add rotational force, and it's complex, but also really fits within the style of the game. And that style there, where it adds a lot, but also just still feels like it's part of it, doesn't feel out of place. Like, again, like that cell phone, like it just doesn't feel like it fits with the game. I really wanted to keep that same vibe where it just looks like it belongs there. It looks like it belongs on that block. It's not completely different. And yeah, I had the idea of like, this should be a thing. It's not a thing. Like, there's some worlds, some servers that are like, there's one that kind of is a replication of like a zombie apocalypse. There's a server out there where they have custom mods and stuff. And they have like, I think, a handheld radio where if it's, you're within a certain area, you can hear, which is great, but it's also only on that server and it's not open source. It's not public. And it's still so limited as to what you can do with that. And they take a lot of simplification. And as far as people are concerned, it's still just a walkie-talkie that they can buy at Target. It's not a ham radio.
Okay.
So then I was looking at it. I'm like, okay, what would it take to make this happen? And I'm realizing that the big issue is that the people that are making the mods, these Java developers, there's not a big crossover of these, you know, Minecraft playing Java developers that do this for fun and ham radio enthusiasts that know, like, even if they wanted to make it, they don't know enough about it to be able to make it from the ground up, right? So having worked with development before, not Java development, unfortunately, but with development and being familiar with mods and the limitations of what these Minecraft mods can do and can't do, I realized, okay, I can probably combine these two things and make a big sheet of, you know, describing what the features are and the algorithms and all the things that are required, and then just give it to developer and be like, hey, make this code just here, you know, and that's exactly what we did. And I think it really started, I want to clarify, I wasn't like, you know, gold heart in my chest, like, I'm going to do this for ham radio. I had a school assignment that was due. Okay. I didn't want to do it. I was procrastinating. So I just started clunking away at this and typing. And soon enough, I had 81 pages. So, and then I submitted it. People suggested, I think it was the YARC Discord server, YARC, Young Adult Radio C. I don't know what C stands for. And they're like, submit it to the ARRL and IRC or whatever it was, and I submitted it and was like, okay, kind of forgot about it somewhat, was still hopeful, and I still remember the day I got that email where it just said, hey, you've been awarded the grant. I'm like, oh great, I got a grant, that's great. And I'm like, $23,000, wow, you know, like, just
oh wow,
mom, get the camera, wow. Get the camera, you know, like, it was on the water. Yeah, cool. And of course, awesome. It started up the exact same time that school was starting up again, and like that's the same time that I started meeting Abby as well and like dating her and stuff, and so like everything was just crazy but great at the same time. And but yeah so that's kind of where that idea came in.
So Lucas, we got a question from Liam Blue Breeze. He's asking, is the mod on Bedrock or Java Edition, and if on Java, what update?
Great question. So we don't have anything for Bedrock. It's only Java right now, because Bedrock is a lot harder to develop for. There's a lot less control you have. We think it's possible. We do hope to do it someday, but there's a bigger player base on Java with modding already. So we just kind of prioritize that. It's on 1.19.3 right now. We do plan on updating it to the newer versions, 20.1 and stuff. I think we're on whatever. And for those of you who are not familiar with Minecraft, they don't know how to count. It went like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.6, 1.7, 8, 1.9, and then it was 1.10.
Yes.
1.11. Now we're on 1.19 and 1.20, and I guess we're never getting 2. I don't know what... I mean, it's all right, but... But it's always the joke, Minecraft 2 is coming out, like, and it's never going to come out. It's always 1 point something, which is pretty funny. Yeah. But yeah, it is on 1.19.3. Latest version of Forge as well.
Are there plans down the road to eventually get to Bedrock, or is it just too much of a development effort to kind of really think about?
Yeah, I think plans is a strong word. There's hope for it. Okay. It's on our list of like, hey, we're going to look into this. We haven't even confirmed whether it's possible or not. So at a certain point, we actually did get an extension into next year as well, because we have extra budget. We were actually under budget as we're starting to kind of wrap things up and stuff. So next year, we do plan on looking into a couple extra things. And one of them is interfacing with actual real world radios and letting that kind of cross over a little bit, which might be interesting. And another one is hopefully Bedrock Edition, or at the very least, a simplified version of the mod for Bedrock Edition, which would be pretty cool. We want to do that. We want to do, I see Bill talking in there as well. We do actually want to have possibly integration with satellites, possibly. There's a mod out there, I think, that adds satellites into the game. So we want to see if we can kind of combine the two worlds and do ham radio satellite contacts or something. I don't know how that'll work, but we have on our list where it's literally just a sentence that we've looked into. It's not even we've done any work. We're not even sure if it's possible, but...
So you do kind of sort of have a future roadmap, and you know, as it kind of the game expands and you're kind of just letting your mind wander a little bit, it sounds like, and you're getting feedback from the community and the like, you're adding to the,
that was a big thing too with this original idea too, of like when I got the sheet together, I was like, okay, I wonder if this would work. And I think I posted it on the amateur radio subreddit, and I got the front page for like 2 days straight. And there was just tons of excellent feedback and stuff. And even the developers, I talked about it on the mod development Discord, like, hey, any developers that would be interested if we did actually get a grant for this. And there was a lot of people like, this is so cool, can I share this and stuff? And and so we included that in the grant proposal as well. We included screenshots of that, and I think that helped as well. But the community has been so helpful. The Discord server, let me open it up, and I can get a link for you guys as well to post in the chat.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Now, you have an actual true like mine Radiocraft website page that kind of elaborates a lot of that stuff that we can definitely put in the show notes. But
yeah,
that kind of covers a little bit of the proposal grant that you put out and some of the stuff that you already started. But
a little bit, yeah. We're currently kind of redesigning that. I was hoping to have it done a bit sooner, but with school picking up again from our last semester, I haven't really had much time. But it's going to be revamped soon, because right now it's still like, hey, we got a grant, we're working on this, and we're kind of trying to transfer it over to like, here's this thing we made, here's how you use it. And have it be a bit more helpful because it's a bit outdated right now. But it is radiocraft.w1btr.com. I already own the subdomain, so I figured might as well use it. And but yeah, we've got, I think, just over 120 or so, 150 users on the Discord server. And only like 15 of those are our development team. And only a couple of those are actually lead developers. Yeah, so we've got a big group of people that have helped out. And we only have like 2 developers that we pay. And the rest are kind of volunteers that have helped out with like opinion and stuff and helping out and that thing. And it's been a lot of help. It's been great. And the community has been so excited for it, which has been fun.
Cool. So like, we obviously been kind of skirting around a little bit of just the mod itself and some of the functionality in it. And again, as Lucas said, you know, it's still in a process and still growing and still expanding and making changes and whatnot. So, but there's definitely some of the stuff that, and maybe we can kind of step back. You kind of kicked this off a little bit at the Ham Exposition, 3 weeks ago, I think is right around now.
Yeah,
and how was that welcomed? You know, I know I went to the Friday session and I was like, are there any adults here? Because there were a lot of kid, you know, younger, you know, kids and whatnot. And I was like, oh, wow, this has got a big draw. So, you know, kind of, you know, what was your feeling and takeaway from the, some of that stuff when you started to release it out into the wild a little bit?
Yeah, the Friday one was a bit tough because it was originally advertised as like, hey, come on over and we'll help you bring your laptop. We'll help you install the game and stuff. And one person brought their laptop out of all the people that were there. So we're kind of like, I guess we're not going to do that. We'll just talk about what it is, you know, and that's what we did. And yeah, there's I think one of the people at the expo said one of the staff came in and said, actually, no, it was one of the ARRL staff. I forget. I feel bad that I'm forgetting her name. She walks in and she says, this is the most young adults and youth that we've seen in one room in this place in quite a while. So this is a good thing, which is great. It's been a while since my audience has been kids for anything I've done. So it's kind of interesting to kind of adjust it and stuff. And kind of fun, though, as well. And just seeing the excitement on their faces and stuff of like, this thing my dad always makes me do, finally it's something fun, you know.
They weren't hey, what's Minecraft and it's cool, like, what, you know, your favorite color type thing. There were like some very deep questions. I was just like, what's going on here? Who am I working with?
It was really cool too. Something I didn't think about until the expo was that there was this kind of dichotomy there where there was like parents and kids just super excited because there were these kids where they're like kind of interested in ham radio but not really. The parents are obviously really into it and kind of dragging them along and having them get into it and like make contacts and stuff. And one of the kids said, my dad's always like, do ham radio. And I'm like, I don't want to. And you see the dad's face just kind of sank. He's like, but now I can do both of them at the same time. And I'm, so I'm like, okay, that's good. You know, like, so it's just cool to kind of bring those, have something that can bring the hobbyist and the hobbyist to be kind of together and stuff. And,
and family together too. Heartwarming. Well, you know, it's
exactly. Yeah.
That's very cool.
It's kind of heartwarming to see.
It's actually pretty brilliant because I always said, you know, kids that have struggled in school, right? But I haven't met a kid that struggles at video games. I said, if you could educate kids through video games, like you'd be, that's a brilliant idea. And that's basically what we're doing, right? What you're doing right now is you're basically introducing ham radio into something everyone loves to play, or people who play it, all these young kids love to play it. And that's, you know, that's a kind of that's their initial love, say, is the game. And now they're going to get this new part to it that they're going to be able to learn. And then that might expand them into the, you know, getting more into the hobby. And it's just really introduction and the exposure. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we were very blessed that we had kind of this platform ready for us. And Minecraft's already used in schools. They actually have it to teach programming to some kids. They have it to, they have mods that they use to teach some history things and different stuff. So we're hopeful that we can kind of, one of the things that's on our roadmap sooner than later is actually to create a curriculum, hire someone to create a curriculum that teaches about ham radio and radio theory that uses this mod that they can kind of introduce to the kids and stuff and get into schools. That was an idea that was brought up to us that we're like, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, we'll totally do that. So it's been really cool.
Okay. So let's kind of, you know, take a little step into some of the mods itself. So like, you know, as you started the process and you know, it may be a good segue for you to, you know, maybe go into some of the gameplay or work towards that way, but, you know, kind of describe some of the mods as you started to or build them. And, you know, then we can kind of go into actual, like, you know, maybe showcasing them a little bit if that's, you know, where you want to take it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let me launch it as well. Here, so I might lag for a brief second as it's launching and it compiles up, but then I should be good. But yeah, I mean, I guess basic description of what it adds in. We were originally thinking like, oh, should we add like a bunch of Yaesu and a bunch of Icom radios and stuff and kind of do things, but we're like, okay, let's try and make this like an easy starting point for someone that has no experience. You know, we don't want to have them have to look up on the ARRL website what all these things are. We want them kind of be able to mess around with it, and it kind of works. So we went with each band has its own radio. There's a 20 meter radio, there's a 40 meter radio, there's a 10 meter radio, there's an 80 meter radio, and there's a VHF radio. And that's pretty much it. There might be a 160 as well. And then from there, they have to build out a battery to power it and solar panels to charge the battery and a solar charge controller. You know, we had fun with it too, because we kind of wanted to teach them good habits and the consequences of bad habits and stuff. Like, for example, someone was like, oh, I just plugged the battery right into the solar panel, right? I'm like, no, you need a solar charge controller first. Otherwise it explodes, because in Minecraft things blow up and we like it when things blow up. So it explodes. If you have your antenna and it's a poor match and the SWR is really bad, guess what happens? It explodes, you know, and lots of fun things. It catches fire and that might explode, you know, that type of thing. So
very cool.
We definitely had fun with, we're having fun with that. And we're hoping to have some like kind of RFI interference stuff with Redstone, which is built into the game. If you're a Minecrafter, you know what that means. Otherwise, don't worry about it. But But yeah, so we have the blocks in the game, and just like everything else in the game, you have to craft it. What does that mean? It means like you have to get resources like iron and wood and stuff. And you have to make individual components and use those components to make a radio. You're not making it in the real world. You're crafting it first, and then you place the finished radio, if that makes sense. But then the coax you have to place, and the antenna you have to place. And let me just turn off the shaders here in the game as well, so that way it's better performance. All right. I do want to see if it will let me join the multiplayer server now.
Cool. So while you're going through that, so you really just kind of like really wanted to take the real world experience that a ham radio operator might deal with and, you know, make it, you know, same gameplay or gamification, you know, gamification somewhat in the game itself to give them the real world experience, but in a fun, you know, kind of non-threatening way, which is really good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sorry, stuff is just falling over here for no apparent reason. But did my camera stop too?
Your video froze a little bit, but we hear your audio.
The world is freezing on me. I don't know why. It looks like it's working fine. Droid cam. Technical difficulties. Stand by. My face is stretched now. That's very interesting.
It's a little frozen here on this, but
yeah. Let me just restart the app. I'm using my smartphone as my webcam here, and that can cause an issue. But
oh, there you go.
All right. There we go.
We're good. This is awesome. Live into Lucas Central.
Yep. All right. Technical difficulties.
There we go.
Hopefully mostly resolved. But where even was I?
Getting the game going. So talking about the radios and setups.
Yeah. So you do have to kind of craft different antenna parts, basically, and have it be a match for the band. And for some reason, we have the wrong version on this server. There's some disconnect there, so I'll just play it.
Okay. So in terms of the functionality of the radio, so it behaves similar to the same like the way you would use a regular HF radio and
yes,
building
thank you.
Process. Okay.
Yes. So we actually are simulating propagation in the game. So the way it works is all the different bands have their own kind of two sets of ranges. There's the line of sight range, which is the ground plane range, as we would call it. And then there's the skip range, which is the propagation. It bounces and it lands, right? And there's no multiple skips or anything like that. Just trying to keep it simple. But now there's one issue that might come to mind if you're familiar with Minecraft as well, is that say you have a small server that's just you and your two kids or something, and maybe one other friend, right? It's going to be a very different experience that you're going to want than a huge server that has hundreds of players spread out across the whole map. You're going to want it to be a bit more condensed. Mm-hmm. And so all these different settings of like what those ranges are actually configurable. And by default, they're a lot smaller than what it would be in the real world, because otherwise, you know, you would have to walk for 7 days to get out to just the 10 meter range. You know what I mean? So it is simplified. But as far as propagation, we also have solar weather that affects that. So that means is there's like six or so different events that could be going anytime. And there's always one. It's either just normal propagation. It could be good or great propagation, or like a solar storm that's causing like 10 meters to open up and actually have a skip range.
Wow.
Or it could be really poor, or it could be a total blackout even. Yeah, and we plan to have the block modeled, but the settings are there and it works, but there's no user interface to actually make it work. We do have a solar weather station as well, where it will tell you what the current conditions are and stuff. And it's cool. Designed to replicate a teletype machine. So it's,
yes.
Yes. We wanted to have a kind of a nod to that and make it look good.
Very good. Yeah. Someone can definitely relate in the chat in terms of the teletype and that mode, a very big mode, very much, not so much. It is still, you know, used today, but it's a popularity. It's definitely good to give that homage.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure.
Exactly. Here, let me create this world here. I'm going to create it creative. I'm not going to do survival, just to give you guys a quick example of what it looks like. And then let me share this once this is done creating the world, which will, again, probably make me lag for a second. Is it?
Yep. Yeah, so while you're building that, so Lucas is basically just going to launch a local instance of Minecraft there with the mod running and kind of give you a real, like, perspective of what the system looks like here, and you know, what the gameplay actually will look like with his mod itself. So go ahead and kind of explain what we're seeing here, Lucas, and you know, dive into a little bit of the mod itself.
Sure. Yeah. So how's the performance looking as far as the connection here? I am wired up and I should have a decent connection, but it's not too bad. Okay. It looked kind of rough on the brief view that I can see. So right now, this is a brand new world that I just created. So just for those that either weren't present or might have missed it too, like, this is completely unique to this world. There's no other Minecraft world. There's no other Minecraft player that's seen this spot, unless they're very, very lucky and they happen to get the same randomly generated number, which does happen once in a great while, but it's probably happened a few times, you know. And as I walk out, you can see, you know, kind of the world ends there, but as I walk, it'll start generating more stuff, and you can see the clouds popping into existence up top and that type of thing. So this is Minecraft that we're in. You know, if I was in survival mode, I'd start by, you know, breaking some wood stuff, and it would take longer for me to do that, and I'd create tools, all that stuff. But just to show you the actual stuff of the mod itself, let's just grab a 20-meter radio, HF radio, right here, and I'll just create a little bit of looks like a bench here. And there's the radio itself. So you can see the model here. We tried to keep it pretty vanilla friendly, so it looks like it kind of fits within the world, but also look like an HF radio.
That's the best thing you could have done from an agnostic standpoint, is not pick a brand.
Yes. Yeah. We had, all these are inspired by actual models and stuff. And one of the pictures was of an actual radio where it had ICOM on it. And when the designer first sent us the file, it still said ICOM. We're like, uh-oh, hold on.
We don't remember for that.
Yeah, let's take that off. You know, it's inspired, but you wouldn't be able to know just by looking at it. Like, maybe, but you wouldn't be certain. It's still within the creative liberty, in my opinion, and stuff. And let's grab some wire and some coaxial wire. And we'll grab some antenna wire and an antenna connector.
Wow, so you literally are just establishing an entire radio setup, like you're building your shack from, you know, yes, in the world. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Got a one-to-one balun here. The note that the wire that you're seeing here, the model is not finished. It's going to be running on the ground. It doesn't look like it's going into the radio, but it is technically. So we're going to go over here. We're going to grab a battery. Go. Plop that down right there. And then we'll grab... make sure we do actually connect it right over, a charge controller. It's right here. And try to make it look like an actual... go away, Bumblebee. Leave me alone. And I will say that the things exploding when it doesn't work is not actually configured yet, but it
will.
It's going to be like that, yeah. So if I was to do it right now, it might even kind of work. I don't really know exactly how it's...
Yeah, no. We'll preface it. It's definitely in still the development phases and working towards, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff, so cool.
Yeah. We're well past proof of concept. We know it all works and will work and stuff, which is good. So now we'll grab the coaxial. Oops. Nope. We're gonna shift right click to place it here. Oops. And go up here. I'm gonna be lazy with how I place it and not make it look realistic here. But let's see. We're doing 20 meters, so. Obviously, if you're making a 20 meters dipole, you want it to be 10 meters across, 5 and 5, right? And in Minecraft, it's considered, each block is considered to be kind of a meter. So that makes it pretty easy to figure these things out.
Oh, nice.
So
okay.
We're just going to count.
And that's a one-to-one balun, right? That is just put on
it the is, end. Yes. Yep. That's a one-to-one balun. You can kind of see the descriptor down at the bottom. Let's make this scale bigger so you can kind of read this stuff too. So we're going to count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks. So this is how many blocks long we want the wire to be. So let's just bring this up here. And again, I'd probably try and make that look pretty if it was in my actual world. An antenna connector here. And then
you don't even need trees. You can literally just build your own towers, Todd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to do this in the real world?
Right. Unlike in real life, there are no physics in Minecraft, really. So you can just create a floating whatever you want. If only real life was this easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So then we're gonna go over to 6, which is right here. And no, I do not have to inform the FCC of my antenna height.
I know, but you have to get a variance from the town.
Yeah. All right, there we go. And that created an antenna there. Now it's hooked up. So let's see if our... Oops, my battery is not charged because this is not on. Which should be on, but up is not on for some reason. We'll fix that. And now it should be charging from the solar panels. Yep.
Okay.
See, it's 2% now.
Yeah, very cool.
All right. So here's when you right-click, you see the interface of the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few things here. It's all very simplified. We've got our volume control and our mic gain control. We've got SSB, continuous wave, and push to talk. But we're going to turn on the radio first. And we're going to drag it over to... Well, I got to make sure... I'm only general licensed, right? So I got to make sure I'm at least over at...
In the general portion of the band.
Yeah. And eventually, I think this is supposed to go up 10 at a time to make things easier, but right now it still just goes up one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over to 225 megahertz. There is no FCC added into the game. That's for the server operators to decide if they want to do that.
So you can actually add that level, and that's pretty cool.
Well, there's nothing built in, but if they wanted to role play it, they could. You know, there is direction finding tools. There is the ability to have a scanner that scans all these different frequencies and stuff. So that you could kind of have your own FCC role playing in there and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Which would be kind of fun. So let's
volunteer. Band watchers.
I don't know if that sound is coming through. If you can hear that on there,
I don't hear it right now. Yeah,
it's not okay. Well, it sounds like static right there.
Okay. Yep.
And then if I press this button, W1BTR calling CQ. And you can see the little microphone icon in the corner down here when I do that, because actually it's a fun little thing. Let me turn off the radio too. But I mentioned as well, there's a mod already in existence that's called Simple Voice Chat Mod that does add voice chat. So one of the hardest things for us to chat to figure out, I feel like there's a filter on making my teeth extra white, but that's distracting. I'm sorry. One of the more challenging things we were figuring out is that because there's no voice chat built into the game, there's no built-in functionality or backend for us to use for just transferring live audio to actually talk to each other. That was probably going to be the hardest thing to figure out. But that existing simple voice chat mod, originally we were like, okay, they did something with audio, so we know it's possible, right? Well, it turns out not only is it possible, but they have an open API for that mod. So we were able to actually tap into that and use that mod for our backend. So we actually, it's a requirement for this mod to work is to have simple voice chat installed.
Cool.
Because it uses that, because the API is open, it has channels and stuff, and we can tell it where and when to put that sound and stuff, and it's super helpful. That took a lot of the load off of our shoulders.
Now, someone who says that's in this Minecraft world using this mod, do they have to have a call sign in order to be able to use it, or is it just basically they can, you know, kind of just pick up the radio and transmit kind of, you know, within the frequency? How is that kind of structured for you?
Yeah. So the game will let them do it even if they don't have one. There is, I don't know if it's, yeah, there is a call sign command. So let's do system info. So I think there's call sign, what is it? Set system info V1VTR. So now if I check, because you can check to see, hey, what's the call sign for my friend here? And it would say that. And if I was to do, I think W1VTR, it should say, okay, no, it doesn't, but that it will say, that system info that has that call sign. And ideally, only server operators would have access to that command, so they could be like, hey, in order for you to get a call sign, you got to go through this little area where there's a test or something like that. If they wanted to, they have total control over what they want to do.
You can establish your own FCC.
Exactly. And where that comes really useful is in two areas. One, in repeaters, you need to have a call sign in order to set up a repeater within the interface. And then also there's going to be, drum roll please, APRS. Not full APRS.
Okay.
It's not super realistic, but it's recognizable at the very least. It will have location, it will have beaconing that repeats out. Mm-hmm. And you can also use it to send messages or send files, which in Minecraft would be a book and a quill or a book or an enchantment book or a map. You could send any of those things to another player. And it will it requires a TNC. I don't know if that block is in the game yet. Here's a digital interface TNC, which it's not set up yet, but that's what you would need to put next to your radio, and it would,
cool. Okay.
It'll light up and stuff and show. And then if you look in here, this one actually doesn't have it, but I think it would be over here, a little icon. For most of them, it's a little green light and a red light and a blue light. Red light means you're transmitting. Green light means you're receiving. Blue light means you're doing something with the digital interface there. We plan on doing that. And there's also going to be text chat as well in there. And there is also Morse code here. And which, again, you can't hear it, but
that's done. It's just work. ATT button per se, not like an. Will you have a key or mod down the road? Is that the plan?
Exactly. So we're looking into it. We really wanted to use like the space bar or something, but there's no easy way to do that within Minecraft Forge's API, which Forge is the way is the model this is built on, which is kind of the program that loads in these modifications for you. There's no built-in way to interact with the keyboard unless you're in a text box.
Okay.
So kind of trying to figure it out. For now, it's just that.
That's a start. That's awesome.
It works, right? It's a way for them to mess around with it. And it goes further as well. So at the very least, say they're like, oh, I can't quite hear you. Let's do this. And I can at least get a word out. Or they can use tap code or something like that, because that's super simple. And introduce them to it. But
so in your repeater side of things, on the VHF, UHF side, are you establishing the typical model that we have in the repeater world where your CW IDs and that type of stuff and people can all chime in through the voice at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. So there is a CW ID. And for all these things, people can talk over each other. Let's just set the time to...
Well, we don't want to leave our equipment out in the rain, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, quick, someone get me a tarp. Oh, no. No, but there will be... because repeaters aren't functional yet, but there will be an input and an output frequency and stuff. And there's both handhelds that you can use, which that is in the game. It's a VHF handheld. You can see it in my hand right here.
Cool.
And... those you'll be able to configure it with a CTCSS tone and an input and output frequency.
Oh, very cool. Nice. So that's awesome. Idea. Now, I assume for like the non-ham person, all of this stuff is pretty much, you know, either a quick FAQ or they can follow through with that process. How would they know, you know, those components? Is there a way to, you know, is there an education process along the way that you can kind of teach them using that stuff?
Yeah. So there's a couple things. The first one, this is something that I think helped us hook the ARRL, is in the game, there will be the ARRL handbook. Which they can right click and open up, and it will have an interactive kind of guide and stuff. And that's another thing that I'll be working on, because it's hard to outsource that, because a lot of this is kind of my brainchild and stuff, that it would have so much back and forth that it would be just as much time as if I was to do it myself. So it's on my to-do list to add that in and to work on that, because we have the code for it done. It's just kind of like the design work, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that. And then we're also going to have a very brief wiki on the website as well, kind of helping out in some videos to help people get started with things and show things, because there's different styles of learners, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of our goal there.
Okay. So we got a question in the chat from Liam. He is saying, basically, does the mod work with Optifier or Optifine, I should say?
Optifine, yes. I can show that right here. It was giving me some performance issues for a second when I was doing it while streaming, but we'll see if this plays nicely. One bug I've noticed a couple of times has popped up is that the antenna wire just disappears, even though it's still there. So what he's asking is, this is actually running with Optifine right now. Optifine is a mod that just increases your performance. It makes it work a bit better by optimizing some code. But you can also use it to add in shaders. Like, see how much prettier the world looks now?
Oh, nice.
If I set the weather clear, you'll see there's actually going to be shadows, and there's rays is what it's called, where there's like different stuff, and it just makes it look a lot better. So yeah, that was the thing that was important to us. Yeah, you can see right here, the antenna wire is gone for some reason. For whatever reason, it's happening on my machine, but it's not happening on any of the developers' machines. Classic development issue, you know? Yes. Works on my machine.
We got the code.
Yeah, yes. I don't know what's going on, but same issue is happening right here. But other than that, it works. And what's interesting too is the shadow is still there. You can see there's a shadow right there from that wire.
Oh, the line, yeah.
Very shadow's still there.
Popped in for a minute.
So it's just something with the lighting. I'm not sure what's going on, because we use the same thing as what's called a lead. We use the same model that's built into the game. Let's see if I can find an animal around here. Does it work on bees? Can I work on bees? It might just sting me to death. Yeah, but see how I'm like, the bee is now following me and stuff, and I can drag it around.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already some great kind of drooping physics there and stuff. So we just use the exact same model.
You just put a leaf on the bee.
Yeah, exactly. This is now my pet bee. It's like a balloon. Try and replicate this in real life, kids. It'll work great for you. But yeah, so what's interesting, though, is that you can see this is working fine. But then when using it for the antennas, it's not. And we're still trying to figure that out. But development bugs, small details.
So where in this, you know, mod phase of your development cycle are you guys? There's a propagation piece in this process, or are you in the still developing that process through right now?
Propagation is done. Yeah, propagation works. Unfortunately, the server, I think we have some confusion there as to which version is which. So when I try and place a block or interact with anything, it crashes, which it wasn't before. It's just because there's two different versions of the game installed, which will be easier once everything's like done and released and stuff. But but yeah, it does work. We've done it, we've tested it, and it works and it sounds pretty cool. You can have a conversation with someone and it sounds like a HF conversation. It's really cool. But yeah, so we do have that working. And we're trying to just put as much as we can in the config files as well, so these server operators have total control over, you know, what's enabled and what's not and what works and what doesn't. They can even set it so that it just works everywhere. There's unlimited range, you know, so just to make it super simple. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someone's creating what's called an adventure world where everything's kind of locked in and it's kind of like a story that the player can play through, and they might not want to mess with around with propagation for that. They might want it to just work. Type of thing. So lots of cool stuff.
Awesome. So any other kind of features you want to kind of touch upon or show that you basically can kind of show for now, or are you this? I mean, right now it's perfect. I mean, I'm impressed as what you got right so far and what you've been working on, and I'm very
excited. Sure, yeah. Well, I'll show you a couple more models here. I won't go through the process with all of them because I have to set up antennas and everything too. Mm-hmm. But we'll just do some more, put down some more radios here. Let's see, we'll do some QRP ones as well. And I'll also show you this does not work yet. Just so you can see the beautiful model here. Let's make another little bench here. This is the solar weather station right there.
Oh, very cool.
You can
see
it looks just like one of those old teletype machines, which we love. Awesome. Here is the 40 meter radio right there. You can see the interface for that one. Mm-hmm. Here is the 10 meter radio. The interface for that one.
Oh, very cool. So they're all unique enough that you, yeah.
Exactly. This is the 80 meter one. We went with an old fashioned style for this. Cool. Yeah, we've got the classic cigar box 20 meter and 40 meter QRP radios too.
Oh, dude, that's cool. That's awesome.
That no display, it just flashes when you're on the band edge, I believe.
Oh, nice.
Assuming the radio is on. Yeah, you can see it's lighting up as you get to the edge there. Yeah,
that's impressive, dude.
Tons of cool little things. Those are so satisfying to look at, in my opinion. I just think those are so cool looking.
You covered all the bases, dude. Literally, you got all the radio bands and all the, you know, different styles, and then you got the QRPs. Like, I mean, QRP is like the perfect stuff at this point. You know, it's like it's icing on the cake. So that's awesome. It's
very cool. Well, and one cool thing, so you'll notice we're kind of in this kind of birch forest right here. If I press the debug thing, you can see right here it says biome. I don't know if you see my mouse. Biome birch forest. So biomes are the thing in the game where it decides what the kind of area looks like. And now we're over, we can go over here. This is going to be a river biome. And let's kind of go away this way. There's deserts. There's all sorts of different things. Here's like a woodlands one. So one of the features we're adding in the game, there's this thing built into the game called advancements. What is that? Y or something? I don't know what the... what button is that? I don't really pay attention to it much, but it's kind of like achievements, right? So we actually have one where each time you activate, you use a radio in a new biome, it's called an activation. And once you do it in the mall, it's biomes on the air, all activation and stuff. Oh. So we're kind of going after POTA there.
Dude, that rocks.
There's a mountain one. There's all sorts of different things. So if they're on a mountain biome and they do it, it'll be soda or something like that. And we're just, we have fun with it, you know, just very things cool. That are nods to the real world stuff. We were also considering, you know, there are, I don't know if we'll see one around here. I don't know what that was. Here we go. There's a pig right here. So we were considering possibly maybe for the, they don't have the model in there for yet. Maybe like the all band radio or for something, we were considering maybe making a piece of pork chop a required ingredient for ham radio. Just a little, you know, we're trying to balance between taking it seriously and not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, dude. Nice.
HF receiver. Yeah, this, you might recognize this as well as something that you're familiar with. It kind of looks like one of those old crystal scanners. This is the VHF scanner.
Okay.
Which you can use to set it to a bunch of frequencies to listen to it once.
Oh, very cool.
And stuff. We're in a thunderstorm right now. It really doesn't want me to have nice weather.
Really not for this game.
But
so do you also, you obviously talked about propagation. Are you considering, or is it built in currently, or the process, the thought of soil conditions affecting, you know, propagation, that type of stuff, or is that down the road?
Nothing yet. We were considering maybe like if you're in a beach biome, it works a bit better because like salt, yep, or something like that. Right. And another thing is the higher up you are, the better it works, the better your range is to a small degree.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
We currently have it, so it will still work in a cave. I saw one person asking about that. So because it's hard to detect if they're in a cave, if that makes sense. Excuse me.
Understood, yeah.
But it might be as simple as just saying what biome are you in or something. But then it's also, we have to consider, okay, the player is in a cave, but maybe the antenna is outside, right, and like up there. So we're trying to figure that out. That's down the road, you know.
Don't dig down, you know. That's the motto, from what I understand.
Yeah, right.
But, so, wow.
Eric, they're going to have to put a flex radio in here.
I know. Well, we're radio agnostic, but I'm sure an SDR would be awesome.
Yeah.
Down the road. So, all right. So basically, you can pretty much create your radio structure and all of the bands you want to operate on, and then you're primarily is a, you know, you're, I assume, just a vertical wire and a horizontal wire. Those are the two antenna types you have currently right now, or
yeah, there's a dipole. You can also have that be a little bit up and down stuff, and the further away it is, the slightly higher up the SWR goes. You can do an antenna pole for a vertical antenna.
Okay.
There is a Yagi for VHF, I believe, and I think there's a couple other types or something that we're looking at just for having some directionality as well, and you know, better performance that direction, mm-hmm, which I think proved to work when the developer was testing that out. So yeah, we have lots of different things that we're messing around with and trying to mess with.
That landscape is perfect for like 75 to 100 foot towers, just off in the, you know, the nice.
I know, side. Yeah, just right there over to the side, just right there. That'd be great.
Trying to 24 element beams or something.
See, this is where we're seeing the disconnect between us and the average person. I remember someone posted a picture like, "Oh yeah, great view of this window out my tub, and there's a freaking radio tower right there." I'm like, "That is a great view. You're right. It's beautiful." I'm just gonna sit there and dream one day I'll have my own antenna up there, you know, as I soak in the tub.
Every ham dream. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
aluminum is my favorite color. What are you talking about? Cool. All right. So basically, this, you describe kind of, you're currently in the development process right now. You're working, obviously, you know, some of the iterations down. You know, do you guys kind of have a plan of when you want to get to like in your mind, what's a working version of this and time frame wise? I mean, obviously, you'd say you're getting married and everything, so that kind of adds to it. But
yeah, it's been in flux. I mean, right now, it's often more, I think, it's twofold. You know, the developer, our main developer, this is a part-time job as well for him, but I don't want to put everything on him as well, because sometimes it's him needing clarification or something and it takes me 3 days to get back to him,
right.
So there's delays on all sides and stuff. I think you know, we originally, when we got the grant, we were saying, you know, all the developers are saying we're going to get this done by May, so I'm guessing we're going to have it done by, you know, October, and it's kind of turning out to probably be around October that we have like a release, okay, that we would be satisfied saying is a release, but we're probably going to still be working on more features until next year and stuff.
Yeah, I can see where this could totally expand beyond like, you know, your middle.
Yeah, it's such a rabbit hole. Yeah. And always even more adding more stuff in and seeing how complex we want to make it. But the big thing too is this is all open source. It's on GitHub, so people can add their own stuff in as well. We'd love that. If anyone has an idea for something, we tried to make an API as well, so it's easy to add in your own antennas. Whatever you want to do, just if you want to mess with this, just do it in the GitHub, submit it. If we like it, we'll throw it in there. You know, we're not uppity about it. We want it to be good quality, of course. But one of the big things we want to do is be able to have this be its kind of its own thing, its own creature once we're done with it, and have people do what they want with it and right, add more stuff in and update it with, who knows, maybe we'll have FT8 in a few years, you know, like, oh, I don't know, but
let me know when that comes in. I'll definitely
yeah, once we have flex radios, right?
they don't need to be flex. I mean, I'm totally fine with FT8 just alone. That'd be impressive to see. One thing I can kind of see where you could really like make this, you know, kind of very community based is in like contesting and stuff like that, where, you know, you have people trying to contest in propagations and locations.
Exactly.
And,
yeah,
you know, you can just, you know, do some logging format if there's a capability or an add-on in there, and, you know, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, we considered making like a logbook and stuff, but we realized that's something that's so not, I don't want to say simple, because it still takes some work, but there's no, it's a pretty simple concept to understand, and we're hopeful that that could be a mod that stands on its own. It doesn't need to interface with the radios at all. So right. We're hopeful that someone else in the community will make that. So if anyone, if you want to take on this job of like, I'll make a logger, because it just needs to be a book where you like put stuff in and it's preset, you know, reach out to us in the Discord. So that way there's not five people working on it at the same time. But we'd love to be able to support you on that and have a part of it and throw your name in the special thanks part of the ARL handbook, you know? So if anyone wants to give me a hit and we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Todd, you got any other questions you want to throw in the ring there at all? Or
no, I mean, it's all new to me. I'm not a Minecraft player. I've seen it. My kids play it, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. Just watching you kind of adding that stuff and seeing how it works. It's brilliant. I mean, this is a great way to get people, I think, who are into something else into ham radio, and especially if it, you know, takes off and people start using it to even communicate throughout the game. That would be pretty intense if everyone was doing ham radio on Minecraft. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so with that, you know, Lucas, you kind of touched upon a little bit in terms of how they can get involved. Maybe you can kind of just elaborate a little bit more on the areas they can get in touch with you directly or within, sure. the Radiocraft project itself.
Yeah, sure. So the easiest way to get in touch with me would probably be on that Discord. I'm going to create a invite link here we can throw in the chat as well.
We'll post that in the show notes.
We'll make it expire in 7 days. No limit of how many people. We're going to copy that and I'll paste it over to your chat so you can do what you want with it. That's
awesome.
And I have two accounts on there. I have my Lucas WMBTR account and my Lucas's work account. So I might bounce in either one. Yeah, DM me on there or just start out by talking to the group too, because they might be able to answer your question or get you plugged in and stuff. You can email me at w1btr@lucas-elliot.com, which is two L's and two T's in Elliot. Extra T for extra trouble getting ID cards. either of those works or send me a radiogram or you can just show up at my house, you know. It's all online.
If someone sends in the radiogram, I will throw in a sticker pack and a t-shirt, you know, for anybody who does that, and Lucas can prove it. So you heard it now, you know, if you send him a radiogram that's related to Radiocraft,
give me one W1BTR. Yeah. But if it's delivered to me over email, it doesn't count. It has to be mailed to me or hand delivered.
Yeah.
Or I guess maybe a phone call, but yeah, send me a radiogram. Yeah.
And we can't always forget, you know, Ryan obviously is here in the chat, go team ICOM, Ryan. Yeah. So as you notice, it's agnostic in the Minecraft world. So it doesn't matter whether you're team ICOM or team Yezu or whatever, we're all radio guys. So good to see you there, Ryan. Cool. All right. Well, so let's kind of wrap things up here. We're just a little bit over our usual hour, but again, thank you for coming on, Lucas. This was such an awesome treat. I'm impressed with the game and super excited to, you know, see how this kind of unfolds. And I'm just going to keep, you know, spreading the word as I bump into people, especially like the younger generation that's younger than me, because I'm old, at least according to my my friends. But for what it's worth, it's they definitely, I'm sure, would benefit from this, and just it opens the doors for, you know, ham radio and just getting them in. That's there
great,
so
yeah,
awesome job with that. And
one of my favorite phrases for their product too is like, I want to create an environment where they can mess around with ham radio without worrying about breaking their equipment or worse, the law. You know, there's no laws they have to follow here, unless they're like on a server and they have to follow the server rules or something. But they can try around and they can mess around. They can see what it is to a certain degree in a safe environment, because there's no way to do that right now. So I think that's just a really helpful tool.
Very cool. All right. Well, hey, let's wrap this up. So thank you guys for those in the chat. We appreciate all the questions and definitely, keep checking in. And again, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, you can definitely head over to our website. And we always are looking for reviews on the show. Go over to iTunes to fill those out. And if you do leave one, we will make sure we read it on the show next time we record. And as always, you can connect with the show on social media for the latest information, our content, and when we do our live shows. And as always, you know, with every show, and as you know, every YouTuber is, you know, there's definitely some costs involved. So, you know, you can always support the show through Patreon and buy us a beer links. And those are all on our website and in the show notes below. Every bit definitely helps, and we appreciate those that have been, helped us out in the past. And the last piece, if you want to contact any of our hosts or contact information, as always, can be found on livefreeandham.com. And as always, thanks for watching and listening. And this show will definitely be converted to our podcast in 24 hours. So you can definitely catch it there too as well if you're part of our stream already on our podcast side. And with that, from all of us from Liveringham, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.